During the summer of 1968, Robert Persick took a trip across the American West on a Honda Superhawk motorcycle. 5 years prior to that trip, he had been incarcerated in a mental hospital where he was forced to undergo 27 sessions of electric shock therapy. He woke up one morning in the hospital, not knowing where he was, nor who the people attending him were. Far more significantly, he did not remember who he was.
Hi, I'm Dennis Davis, a local filmmaker from the Bozeman area.
And I'm Manola Carter, a film producer from Tucson, Arizona.
We're making a documentary about Robert Persick and his best-selling book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
We are calling it Persick's Journey.
So this episode is dedicated to understanding the Chautauqua movement in history and also how Robert Persick used Chautauquas throughout his book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
The Chautauquas then were like the TED Talks of the day. They were a traveling tent show. They would go from town to town. And it all began in the mid-19th century. At that time, it was the Lyceum movement. Later, it became the Chautauqua movement. The Lyceum movement was started by Transcendentalists. Transcendentalists didn't believe in organized religion, and they didn't necessarily believe in God because God is such a big part of organized religion. They believed in the divinity of nature. They believed that nature was sacred and that it was imperative for individuals to connect with nature.
The two most prominent Transcendentalists of the time who did give lectures at the Lyceums included Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau.
He was a poet, he was a philosopher, he was a journalist, and he was a great writer. They wanted to extend the educational system to rural America, to the farmlands, where people did not have access to the same kind of conversations on topics of science, the new discoveries in technology, the arts, for example.
And the people that were on this circuit were paid. There was an entrance fee for people to come and attend these things, and they were looking for insight. They were also wanting to be entertained. And so the best of the speakers did both, such as Mark Twain, who became very popular on that circuit.
He made it to Montana. He spoke in Great Falls. He spoke in Butte, and there were thousands of people who attended his lecture. He also spoke at Anaconda.
Yes.
I love how Mark Twain got his pseudonym.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting side story, but let's share it. Mark Twain was born Samuel Clemens, but he used a writing name.
Nom de plume.
Nom de plume. And Mark Twain is a Mississippi riverboat term. He used to pilot a riverboat on the Mississippi River, one of those big paddle steamer boats. And since the river is always changing, they had to make sure that where they were going to go was deep enough to not get hung up on the sandbars. So they would lower a rope that had a knot at 12 feet. They called that depth Mark Twain. And so he used that as his nom de plume because at heart he was always a riverboat captain. He loved that job.
Eventually, at the late 19th century, it turned into the Chautauqua movement. And there's actually a town in New York by Lake Chautauqua.
It's interesting to point out that one of the first lecturers at Chautauqua Lake was Ulysses S. Grant, our Civil War hero, as well as an ex-president of the United States.
He liked to meander into a topic. He liked to break it into pieces and then build it up again so it makes sense to people. And that's what he does when he talks about his philosophy, the metaphysics of quality. And I think that's part of why some people find his books hard to read, because he goes from traveling through the beautiful countryside in America with his friends and sometimes complaining about his son, and then he gets into talking about philosophy. For some people, that's a little hard, and for others, they just love it, like us, for example.
In a sense, he does it in a way that is reminiscent of his scientific training and background when he was a teenager. That is to say that he will propose a question, and then he will propose the solution.
Exactly. He loved to find solutions to problems. When he encountered the fact that he could not understand what quality truly meant beyond something is better than something else, he really just stuck to it until he came up with his own answers. He thought about it so much that he connected with consciousness, or whatever you want to call it. He said he was just inundated with thoughts. They were just rushing in like a waterfall. And he couldn't help but write all these ideas down and then afterwards make sense of them. Similar to the story about Mozart. Dennis, tell us about that.
Mozart has described that when he would be riding in a carriage, that a composition would enter into his awareness. He didn't know where it came from. He himself could not identify where it came from. He would just hear the whole thing, and not just a little excerpt, not just a melody that he developed later, but the full-blown orchestration, fully birthed in his consciousness. And he went home and then would just write it down. It's inspiration from on high, is what he thought.
Interesting. That analogy with Mozart only makes me think that Robert was also inspired from on high. Robert liked to use the system of Chautauqua because he said that people are so busy going to work, and they have all sorts of responsibilities. They don't have time to sit down with their friends and just talk and really elaborate on a subject, starting from the beginning and building it up and slowly bringing in different pieces to explain a topic. Most people, when you see each other, you say, hey, what's new? And Robert says, no, what I like to ask is, what is best?
Right. And he uses Chautauquas also because a subject would be explored in depth. It was a word that really served his purposes because he did not want to just touch on the surface of these subjects, but he wants to take you to what he at one point calls the high plateau of the mind. It's interesting that the Chautauquas are not just about the philosophies, but certain practical advice. Like, for example, at one point he talks about just making a list of things that he often forgets when he goes on a motorcycle journey. And so he actually describes that list in one of his Chautauquas. So it's a very pragmatic and practical application of his use of a Chautauqua.
Yes.
So one of the things on his pragmatic list is actually a book.
Thoreau's Walden.
And why did he bring that along?
He liked to read classics with Chris. And then what they would do is, together they would read a couple sentences or paragraphs, and then Chris was a very curious little boy, and he would ask his father all sorts of questions, and Robert just loved answering them. So they would go back and forth. He would read a paragraph, and Chris would ask a bunch of questions, and then they would go on, and they would see that hours later, they've only gone through 3 pages of the book, but they really immersed in a lot of conversation. And Robert likens this to the Chautauqua circuit, where this was the style of presentations they gave to the public. It was very interactive.
Well, and the other thing about that is that he always wanted to pick a book that he knew was over the head of his son, because he wanted his son to think and expand his understanding and expand his mind. And all of the Chautauquas that he's talking about to us have that similar effect. They're expanding our understanding as we read about his philosophy and his insights into life.
Yes, definitely. Now, in another extension of the theme of Chautauqua, back in 2012, the first Chautauqua was organized in commemoration for Robert Pirsig's work. And this was the brainchild of Professor Charlie Pincava. His undergraduate liberal arts class in critical thinking said, we should get a plaque in honor of Robert Pirsig and put it on the side of the door of the classroom where he taught at. Charlie thought it was a great idea, so he presented this to President Cruzado, and she liked it. A year later, Robert got his honorary degree by President Cruzado. He wasn't there, but he did send a thank you note, and he was very grateful for everyone. We are proposing to MSU about potentially doing the second Chautauqua 8 years later in 2020. This time, though, doing a larger event, bringing together science, technology, and the art, just how Robert sees that his philosophy, MOQ, does. And then we propose there will be special guest speakers talking about philosophy, Zen, mental health. And the idea is for this MSU 2020 Chautauqua to be held the first weekend of September 5, 6, and 7. And Saturday, September 6th, happens to be Robert's birthday, and that would be the day when we would premiere our documentary film in Bozeman. We have 2 years to plan something fabulous. What do you think?
In our next episode, we're going to be expounding more about Robert Pirsig's interest in changing the foundations of Western cultural philosophy and why he felt that it needed to be changed.
Little quick reminder, this coming Monday, September 24th, we're going to be giving a little bit of a lecture at the Bozeman Public Library. And if you have time to come visit us, it starts at 7. Phaedrus and out.
Come along on this journey with us.
We invite your support as together we make this documentary project reality.
Visit us at www.persigsjourney.com.